Someone once asked me if I pray because it makes sense, and I said, no, I don't pray because it makes sense. I pray because my life doesn't make sense without prayer. And I have to pray to get up and to get going. Well, I don't know that I'm going to be able to get up and get going. So prayer is certainly something that is a wonderful spiritual blessing from God above. Amen? So when we're going to talk about prayer, I want to talk about it a little bit heavier today, because we do know that God answers prayers. We know that sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is just maybe not right now. But please know that prayer is a blessing. Say those words with me. Prayer is a blessing. Prayer is the avenue, brothers and sisters, in which you and I, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, that we can communicate with Almighty God. I love what the Bible tells us over in the book of Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 6. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto who? God. And we are to thank God with, the Bible says, with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto the Heavenly Father. So it becomes clearly evident, clearly obvious that God wants us to be in direct communication with Him. I can't help but to go back to the book of Psalm, chapter 4, down around verse 1, where God's beautiful word says, hear me when I call. Watch this. O God of my righteousness, you have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me. And the great psalmist is saying these words in the conclusion of that, says, hear my what? Hear my prayer. And folks, the psalmist knew that God listens to his prayers. This great psalmist knew that God indeed hears these prayers. Do you remember what David said over in the book of Psalms, chapter 5, down in verse 1? Says, give ear. He's asking God to hear him, to listen to him. Give ear to my words, O Lord, and consider, the Bible says, my meditation. So the great psalmist is paying honor to God. And he knows where the authority is. He knows who it is that will answer these prayers. And I'm grateful to see the example that this great psalmist is setting for you and for me, to utilize this great gift, this avenue of prayer that we have. We need to remember today, if we don't remember anything else, that prayer is a blessing. Amen? Don't take it lightly. Prayer is a blessing that is given to all the Christians. The first point I want us to consider this morning, as we talk about prayer, and we talk about prayer being a blessing, I'm convinced, according to the first point that we're going to share together, prayer reveals the power of God in our lives. Typically, if you see someone that has a very weak prayer life, they probably have a very weak relationship with God. That's not coming from a judgmental standpoint, because the Bible gives us assurance after assurance after assurance that one of the blessings of being a child of God is the avenue of prayer. There's a passage in the Bible that says, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, the Bible says he hears him. So the book of John makes that very, very clear to us that there are particular people that God's not going to hear your prayer. God is not going to hear the prayers of those that continue to reject him, those that continue to put him off, those that continue to reject the invitation of Christ and pushing off being faithfully obedient unto him. The Bible says that he answers the prayers of those who obeys his will. Are we in agreement thus far? All right, so I want us to look and think about the power of God in our lives. Would you agree that facing difficulties, when we face adversity, when we face problems in our life, do you agree that that's a very vulnerable time in our lives, and that's a time that Satan will come in and try to destroy us? Does that make sense? When we are at our weakest sometimes, Satan's at his strongest, isn't he? So whenever we're down and out, whenever we feel like things are kind of crashing in, when things seem to be closing in, rest assured, if you're feeling that way, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. That means that Satan is alive and he's well. That means that Satan is trying to overtake your life. That means that you could be very strong in Christ, because he wants to, his desire is to pull you away from the Heavenly Father. It is Satan's job. It is his desire to pull you away from God. He wants to rob God of one of his children. He wants to be able to destroy you. He wants to be able to separate you from Almighty God. And the last thing that he wants you to be able to do is pray to your Father in heaven, because prayer strengthens us, doesn't it? Everybody agree? Prayer strengthens us. It gives us strength. It gives us power. It gives us confidence that we can have in Jesus Christ. Maybe today we're dealing with a sickness or maybe a disability. Maybe we have just lost a loved one, or perhaps we have a loved one with declining health. Maybe our financial realm is changing, but not changing for the better. And possibly we've lost or misplaced something that's very important or very valuable to us, and it leaves us feeling like we're in a lost condition in that situation, not before God, but just feeling lost because that meant so much to us. Maybe there's trouble on your job. Maybe there are some church issues that you're uncomfortable with. Whatever it is, there are many things in life that can cause an individual to have doubt in their life. Who do you think the father of doubt and confusion is? Satan himself. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's going to bring that out to us. But we cannot allow Satan to get in the way and to distort, if I may, to try to water down the importance of our prayer life with Christ. Amen? Because prayer is a blessing. Say that with me again. Prayer is a blessing. Listen, when we pray, we need to remember this, that we are reminded of God's promises. We're reminded of His power. I think about Romans chapter 8, down in verse 28, where the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who do what? For those who love God." Listen, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those who are called to fulfill and to hold to God's commands and do that with a happy heart. We should never, brothers and sisters, look at our responsibilities to do and to do what God's called us to do as a burden. We should look at that as a blessing. Amen? When I think about what Jesus did on that cruel cross at Calvary for me, a sinner like me, it is nothing. Nothing, everything I do pales in comparison to what Jesus did for you and for me. You have to understand, folks, there is power. There is power in prayer, and there is a lot of power with God. Don't forget the passage that shows His power and His promises. Philippians chapter 4, down in verse 13, the Bible says, "I can do through who strengthens me." So where is that power coming from? Where is that strength going to come from? The Bible tells us that it is coming from our Heavenly Father. Prayer brings God's power, and it brings it upon you and me. Prayer brings faith and victorious faith, and that brings forth freedom of doubt. We're always going to have some doubt because we're human beings, but we do not, brothers and sisters, have to let that doubt control our lives. Amen? We do not have to let that doubt steer us in the way that Satan wants to steer us. We have somebody that's powerful. We've got an almighty God. We've got one that loves us, and He's proven that love to us. So I'm going to pray unto Him. I'm going to pray because my life doesn't make sense without prayer. And that's why I'm going to be praying to my Father in heaven. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." I believe in Jesus Christ. Confirm it with an amen. Some of you didn't say a word. You don't believe in Christ. If you believe in Christ, confirm it with an amen. Very good. So we want to make sure that we're together in this, that we know that Jesus Christ is real. It's not a fictional story. Our Father in heaven is very, very real. To look at a thrilling example in Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 through 23. Daniel 6, 7 through 23. I'm going to take you straight to verse 10. The Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows up and toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees," and the Bible says he did what? How many times? Three times that day, and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. The point here is he was told not to. He was told to do something else. He wasn't going to do something else. He was going to worship his God, wasn't he? And we know that because of that, Daniel was facing adversity. Drop down to verse 23. "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den," and watch this next part, "and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in" who? You missed a word. His God. He believed in his God. Who's his God? Our, thank you, Jerry Jr., our God. So what was happening on that? Daniel didn't follow this decree. They took him and put him in a den of what? Lions. And you know, Jerry, as well as I do, if you're placed in a den of lions, you're going to be nothing but scraps left over, maybe. But Darlene, the Bible says there was no harm to him whatsoever. He believed in his God, and he had power in his prayer. Amen? The Bible made it very clear the kind of power that he had. I love and appreciate seeing that. Prayer revealed the power of God in our lives, just clear as a whistle. The second point I want us to examine this morning, we need to understand and know that prayer, faithful prayer, will refocus. It will allow us to refocus our lives upon Jesus, to refocus upon the Lord. How many of us, besides a preacher, sometimes gets knocked out of focus? Has that ever happened in your life? Sometimes we kind of get derailed. Tony, if that's a good word, we kind of get derailed. We do really well, and things are going good in our walk with Christ. And then, sis, what happens is, you know, real-life situations come up. Our environment changes. Our atmosphere changes. And next thing you know, sometimes our focus changes, doesn't it? It's not because we love God any less. It's just that sometimes we allow ourselves to love the world a little more than what we were doing. So we have to refocus. We have to realign. We've got to be reminded. And that's the importance of being in constant prayer. That's the importance of constantly being in the Word of God, so that it allows us and it moves us to constantly focus upon our Heavenly Father. Listen, it is of soul-saving importance that we pray constantly, that you and I pray continually to the Father. Do you remember what we read a little while ago in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, where we saw that he prayed how many times that day? Three times a day, and he was delivered. Daniel knew where his power and his strength came from, didn't he? Was it Daniel that delivered himself? But Daniel trusted who? God, and he trusted him in prayer. Absolutely. You and I can learn from that, Jerry. Let's make sure that you and me together, let's trust our Heavenly Father. We know, darling, that he's going to deliver us. It may not be a delivery to what we want. We still may not be comfortable to where God's delivering us, but we are to trust God, aren't we? We know that God will deliver us exactly where he wants us, but have faith in him, trust in him. Receive the promises, receive the strength, receive the power that God gives his people. We're reminded in his word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down in verse 17, we're reminded to pray without what? Ceasing, the scripture says. And then if we go to Luke 18, 1, the Bible says, man ought always to what? Pray and don't grow weak, don't lose heart. So we're reminded in his word, because of the power of prayer, because of the strength that you receive, because of the fact that it allows you to refocus your mind and your vision, if I may, on what's going on with you in Christ. Power of prayer, the power of God, it will be revealed in that. Brother Larry read to us a while ago, and I want to go back and look at it again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to look at 14 through 16. And we can see where the Lord states that if the world would just turn back to him, if the world would just pray unto the Father, he would heal our nation. How many people in here believes in God and his promises? Say amen. Everybody in here does. And we often wonder, darling, to say, what's wrong with our society today? What's wrong with the world today? Tony, why has things went so crazy? Why are there people killing each other on every corner? Why is all this crime taking place? Why is all this immorality taking place? Why is fornication happening? Why is this happening? When we look at the corrupt land that we're in, that's because the devil is out there, isn't he? And he is dividing families, and he's conquering these people, and he's grabbing people's lives. He's pulling Christians out of church today. He's doing all of these things. He's creating confusion. Don't allow that to happen. God tells us, and he promises us, if you really seriously want your nation healed, turn back to me. If you'll just come back to me, turn your face toward me, refocus your life, dedicate yourself to me by being faithfully obedient, and Jesus, God, gives us the promise that he will do what to our nation? More than two people. He will do what to our nation? Heal our nation. Absolutely right. So let's take a look. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 16. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. That's 100% accurate, isn't it? That is 100% guarantee. If we really want to be made well in the eyes of God, turn back to him. Refocus. Go back to God. Quit trying to direct our own steps, because Jeremiah's already told us, it is not in man who walks to do what? That's right, Amy. It's not a man who walks to direct his own steps. We have messed up enough, haven't we? We have kind of messed this whole thing up that God planned out. Ask Adam and Eve. Perfect plan. Here they go, messing it up. God gives us the perfect plan today as well. To call upon him. To confess our sins. To repent of our sins. To be baptized with forgiveness of our sins. To live a faithful, obedient life for him. We do that in one day. And then we expect the world, we expect everything to be hunky-dory and perfect. You know what? God promises us if that we are faithfully obedient unto him, he will give us the crown of life. That's what he tells us in Revelation 2:10. Nowhere in the passage of Scripture, Brother Larry, does the Bible say, if you'll confess me, if you'll repent, if you'll be baptized with the forgiveness of sins, and you're living faithful, I'm going to make your life easy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that, does it? It says that we can have life and we can have it more abundantly. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you're never going to have a flat tire again. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that your utility bill is going to go back down. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that you're never going to have division among you again. Nowhere in that in the Bible does it say that. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there's trouble everywhere, isn't it? But the Bible also gives us the blessed assurance that I can do through who. So we can get through this. All we do is refocus our mind, focus our lives upon Jesus. Put him first and foremost. We need to consider the great psalmist. If you don't mind, go with me to the book of Psalm. I'm going to head over to 116, I think. Psalm 116. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 116, 1 and 2. The Bible says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Because he's inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him. What was his commitment? As long as I what? Live. That's very good, Abby. As long as I live. This is what that great psalmist is talking about. I'm never going to turn my back on you, God. I'm not going to lose focus. I'm going to do all I can to stay focused upon you. This is what that psalmist is talking about. Well, let's head over a few more chapters. Let's go to 145. Psalm chapter 145. And let's look at 18 and 19. The Bible says, the Lord is near to... I love this passage of Scripture. Don't ever think for one second that you're in this world alone. Don't ever think for one second that you're in this fight alone, that you're by yourself. The Bible gives us this assurance right here. The Lord is near to all... Did you see that? To all who do what? And to all who call upon him in truth. He knows if your heart is sincere, doesn't he? All right. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry. And the Bible says when he hears a cry, what else will he do? The Bible says he'll save them. Beautiful passage of Scripture. That alone motivates me. That alone encourages me. That alone tells me that my life doesn't make sense without prayer. That tells me that everything going to be all right, isn't it? May not be a comfortable walk. It may not be a smooth walk, but it'll be a soul-saving walk for Jesus Christ. It'll be something that we can do as we focus our attention upon God. Now, I got to go back and look at this part again, 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him the truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He's going to hear their cry. He's going to save them. I want to make sure we drive that point home. Pray, pray, and pray. If we fail to communicate with our Father in constant prayer, I assure you that it won't be long. I promise you, if you're not praying as you should, you're not staying in his word as you should, I absolutely promise you it won't be long till your life is in a whirlwind. You agree with that? It won't be long until you lose that focus in your life. Some people don't like a preacher to say this. I've kind of always been right on the edge. Life, brothers and sisters, is a race. And some people don't like that. No, that's a journey. It's a race. We're racing against the devil, aren't we? Some people say it's not. For me, life is a race. I know where my finish line is. I know who my commanding officer is. I know who stands right on the other side of that finish line with his arms stretched out saying, come on, don't give up. Don't give up. I also know who's running beside me over here. Guess who that is? Satan. How many times a day do you think Satan's going, Jerry, you don't need to do that. Jerry Yule to say this. Jerry Yule to stand up for yourself and not let them think this about you or talk about you. Jerry Yule to do that. Look how slow this driver's doing. He's doing 55 in a 55. We don't allow that. Go around him and blow him off the road. There are things that Satan's going to do when somebody steps on their toes a little bit. We don't say excuse me anymore. We're ready to buck up, aren't we? We're ready to fight. What's wrong with you? You got a problem? What happened to the days if you bumped into someone at a grocery store, you literally said, excuse me, and they said, oh, no problem. I hit a bug yesterday at IGA, and the lady, if looks could kill, you'd be visiting me at West Harpeth. Paul had stood there with like, wow, this lady who was pushing a cart, it's not a joke. I actually was turning, I was looking back at Paula and hit her cart. It's metal against metal. It's not like she went out and bought it and had it painted a certain color. Didn't have mag wheels. It didn't have a cassette player and CD and all this other stuff. It was a grocery cart. And the look that she gave, and Paula wasn't out friendly. I said, I am so sorry. She I'm like, well, she can't even talk with her mouth open, so I'm just going to leave her. But I really wanted Tony. I wanted to light into her so bad. But then I was afraid that somebody would see me, including God, so I let it go. The reality is, Satan is over here. He's trying to get us, isn't he? He's trying to get us aggravated. He's trying to get that one person who can get under your skin. He's going to get that one person who can push that button. Count on it. But don't lose focus. Let's make sure that when we see that coming on, we're ready for him. We stand prepared because we're standing behind prayer. We're standing at the foot of the cross. We're standing up for Jesus Christ. Amen? Life is a race. If we're going to run away, if we're going to run the race of life with endurance, we definitely need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, as Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith and mine. He's the author and he's the finisher of your salvation and mine. Hebrews chapter 12, down in verse 1 and 2. So listen, prayer, faithful prayer will help us to refocus our lives. Are we in agreement? Third point, then this lesson's going to your house. Prayer reminds us of God's plan for our lives, doesn't it? When we pray to God, we are reminded what God really wants for you and for me. No matter who we are in life, no matter what status you may be in right now, no matter how educated you are, or how uneducated an individual may be, we all are in constant battle with sin, every single one of us. We're constantly having to be on alert, yes or no? We're constantly having to be aware of who our enemy is. Satan is out there. He wants so bad. It is his chief desire to absorb us. It is his chief desire to devour us. When I mean devour, Satan doesn't come after me to devour just Jerry. He wants to devour me, my family, my friends, the congregation where I worship, the congregation that I serve. He wants to devour. Devour means everything that had anything to do with this. Yes or no? So understand, when the Bible talks about this devour, I'm afraid that we're limiting, I think we're limiting it, saying in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's not that he just wants to gobble up me or Amy. He wants to, but he wants Amy's husband. He wants Amy's family. He wants her mother and her daddy. He wants me. He wants Charlie. He wants everybody in here. He don't want to just nip on us in the congregation. He wants to devour this congregation, doesn't he? Why do you think, Tony, it's so important to keep on praying, buddy? Keep on praying. Don't ever give up. That's why it's so important, Paula, to make sure no matter what we're up against, we're going to God in prayer, aren't we? Do I pray because it makes sense? Absolutely not. I pray because my life doesn't make sense without prayer. That's what we have to remember, folks. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is certainly God's plan for each of us to be obedient unto him. It is God's plan that we are transformed into who and what God wants us to be. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? That we can do what God's calling us to do. It's our reasonable service to do what he's calling us to do. How can we know what is acceptable in God's sight? How can we know what God really wants of his followers? How can we really know what God's plan is for us? We can all know exactly what God wants from each of us by searching his word every single day. Every day. 2 Peter 3, down in verse 18. The Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 15, Paul was telling young Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Friends, we need to pray. We need to pray as we search the scriptures every day. We need to pray as we seek God's will in our lives. Are we in agreement? We should pray as we worship Him. We should pray as we study about Him and about life. We should pray as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We should pray as we give back. We should be praying on the way to the worship service. We should be praying for one another. Amen? We should constantly be praying and helping each other. Prayer does things. Prayer is very effective. Prayer delivered Daniel from the lion's den, yes or no? Prayer helped deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. You know, Daniel needed to do the will of the Father, and we know that he did. The Apostle Paul, prayer pulled him through, didn't it? All right, prayer was out on his missionary. Paul was out on his missionary journeys, and you know what? Snake bitten, shipwrecked, had people trying to get him, some of his own people trying to get him. Paul was one that believed in prayer, and we know that there was a success to that. So the question is asked, how, seriously speaking, how much prayer are you involved in today? No matter where you're at in your prayer life, pray more. Amen? No matter where you're at, pray more. Increase it. Do you understand just how awesome it is to have the privilege of prayer as a child of the Most High God? John 9:31, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of Him and does His will, He hears him. I want you to know that prayer does a lot of stuff. Prayer has brought a lot of folks through illnesses, hasn't it? Look at the number of people that we know individually, according to medical science, should have been gone, should have been already deceased. But prayer's brought us through. Prayer's brought a lot of those soldiers. I appreciate Matt. Matt prays for our soldiers across seas, and he does it quite often. Prayer brought a lot of our soldiers back home, didn't he? Prayer has mended many broken families. Prayer has also mended many broken friendships. Prayer does a whole lot of good stuff. Prayer has saved many of the Lord's congregations from splitting and dividing. Prayer has put families back together. Prayer has mended friendships. So as we conclude, what kind of prayer life do you have today? Are you looking at prayer very serious? Or is prayer just something that you do? Is it a routine? Just get in the morning and, Lord, we thank you for this day and the many blessings. And be with me on the way to work that I don't get a ticket from the Tennessee Highway Patrol or 51st in Charlotte. You just watch over me, keep me safe, forgive me my sins. Amen. You know, one of those ceiling prayers. That's about as high as it gets. How serious are we from our heart praying to our Heavenly Father? How serious are we about God and us turning back to Him and helping turn this nation back to Him in prayer, in obedience, and doing it in truth? Amen. Prayer is a great blessing. Do I pray because it makes sense? No, absolutely not. I pray because my life doesn't make sense without prayer. I've said that 4 times today because I want to make sure that you understand your life will not make sense without prayer. Are we in agreement? Today, if you're a Christian, let me encourage you to continue to pray and pray harder. Let me encourage you as a child of God to never look lightly upon this blessing that we as Christians have, the opportunity to pray to our Heavenly Father, to communicate with the very one that created us. If you're not a Christian today, you're missing out on one of the greatest blessings of all times, the avenue of prayer. Today, that can be mended. Today, that can be repaired. Today, that can be fixed. Hear His word. I gave it to you. Repent of your sins. Change the way you're living. You know what? Enough's enough. Start living for Jesus Christ. Confess your belief in Jesus Christ in the presence of a witness or witnesses. I know, and I believe fully, that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I know for a fact He died for me. I know for a fact 3 days later He arose from the dead and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Thank God for that. Amen? I know. I believe in these things. On that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Let me say it again. I know many of you are clear with it. There are people today that would have you to believe that water baptism, meeting Jesus in baptism, is not necessary for salvation. I will tell you, according to the Scripture, you will not go to heaven if you are not baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It is in the Bible. Therefore, there is an antitype which now saves us. The Bible says, namely what? Baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must be put to death. The sinful person is dead. You're coming out of that water grave of baptism, a new creature. You're marching toward the righteousness of God. Amen? With God. Today, if you are a Christian, but you kind of wandered, you need to come back to the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, he says, I'll give the crown of life. Sometimes we as Christians can find ourselves erring from the church, erring from the truth. It's easy to get caught away. It's easy for Satan to pull us away. But I'm telling you today, you got a chance to make sure that things are right in your walk with him. You can leave the building knowing with confidence that if my life is required of me today, I'm going to be in heaven with God in the heavenly host. I'm going to be there in heaven with those other Christians that have went on before me. The choice is yours today. Perhaps you just need prayer from the congregation to help you stay on the straight and narrow. If that's what you need, let us know. Today, if you have a need, you need it all. We invite you to come right now as together we stand.